Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
And it's not like he stopped talking right away. He hears me praying. Yeah. Now, back to this. Yeah. He's going, this. We can have a great time on Sunday, and all of a sudden we start dismantling what God was building through the week, and we contribute to its demise. Listen, it's a terrible thing to just destroy it all when something's built. It's, you know, when I was a kid, I learned something with Legos and Erector sets that I couldn't do everything in the diagram the way they told me in one day. So what would I do? Mom, please don't put that toy away. I'm not finished. I got to finish it tomorrow. I got to build more tomorrow. It was so disheartening as a child that you work so hard on something and you walk back in the room and she came in to clean. My Lego! It was all cleaned up. It was put. And it's okay if it's a small one, you can start over. But man, when you're trying to build the grand construction, it's tough. You know, Nehemiah, and you can go back and read about it, he went back to rebuild the walls of God's city because it was in ruins and it was burnt and it was rubble. And he went back to rebuild, to build something, to restore something. And he had to do it in the midst of opposition. He had to do it in the midst of real battle. He was trying to build the walls of the city so that not just anything could pass in and out without them knowing, and without security, and without protection. Because the city was supposed to, those walls were supposed to be in place to provide security and protection for God's people and God's presence and God's blessing and the rebuilding of the temple, and that they wouldn't just let the enemy come in and out without them being aware and without challenge and without restraint, without confrontation. And you know, God's building something, and sometimes we don't run security. We just let stuff go in and out, and it dismantles. I'm not talking about building a wall in the sense of a barn and hoarding things and hiding. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about building an appropriate wall that provides a standard, that provides a restraint. It provides something for us to say, within these walls of God's presence and within the walls of God's conviction, there is security and there is stability. But sometimes we knock down that wall that God is building for us in the way of conviction and stability and security because we just let stuff in and out of our life. That God is saying, whoa, wait a minute. I want this wall here. The gate's over here. And this is all that should pass through the gate. You know, I know that we get frustrated. Those of you who fly, you get frustrated with all the security stuff now. I know that I do. And I don't fly a lot anymore. It's frustrating. Take this out, do all this. But you know, there's a principle in it for us that when God is building something in us, maybe we should have a little better security so that we are not so easily dismantled and allow things in our life that work against what God is trying to build. Because then next Sunday comes around and we just got to start over again. God's heart and purpose is to build you up, and he wants to finish the work he started. Nehemiah went back to build the walls of the city so they could, you know, rebuild the temple and all of this. But in the New Testament, we are that temple. The presence of the Lord is supposed to be in us. And there are times that I feel his nearness, and there are times that I don't feel him as close. There's sometimes that he's talking a lot, sometimes he's not, but I always got to go back and check this. What did you tell me last? What did you convict me about last? And I got to get that squared away so that I can have the desires of my heart to go on in the Lord and let him take me to the next step and the next revelation. I want you to know, when my children, on a human level, remember to do the things I've asked or I instructed them to do, and they do it, I am so pleased. I feel so close to my children. In fact, I have to be careful because they're in, you know, three of them are here. You know, at that moment when they obey, it's like they could almost ask me for anything. They could almost ask me for anything. And if it was within my power and resource to do it, I would do it. Because they obeyed. They did what's right. They followed the instruction. They followed through. They're developing. I go, hey, you know, I'm trying to build something in them. Not all on my own, but, you know, I want to contribute. I want God to do something. And so I try to build something in them. And when I see that that becomes solid and there's solidarity to that principle or to their way of life or their habit, I just, it's so pleasing. It's like, I want to build more. I want to tell them more. I want to instruct them more. I want to hear their response more. I want to just, you know, give them privilege and blessing and, I do. I just, that is my response. And I am human and I am evil. How much more then will our Father in heaven, who's perfect, give us the promises of his Spirit, the baptism and the building us up, if we will respond with obedience to the last instruction we received? So if you're here, you feel like the heavens might be brass, or you feel like there might be distance. It doesn't mean that just because you feel distance that there's something you didn't obey. You know, sometimes it's, you know, we work through stuff. You know, maybe he's not real talkative, and, you know, maybe it's our frame of mind a little bit that day. But if it's something in my life where I just feel like he's, I got to say, what's the last thing? What's the last thing? Based on his word, based upon the revelation of his Spirit to my life. And I usually, if it's something I really don't like, it's probably something I haven't mastered. Something that I disagree or I argue with, I know that there's probably something there that I still need to resolve with him. We're going to go to communion. We're going to celebrate what Jesus did. We're going to celebrate him. We're going to remember him, that he died on a cross, shed his blood so that my sins could be paid for, so that I now could be at peace with God and he could build me. He could construct me. He can build me up. That the things that he came to undo, like sin and death and hell, I can be a recipient of the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy, his keeping power, to walk not under the consequences of eternal, you know, death and because of sin, but I can rather walk in life. Well, I want to make sure those things are in place. Paul writes this, you know, in the scripture. And worship team, you can start to take your place. But In the scripture, Paul writes, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he broke bread. And after giving thanks, he gave the bread to his disciples. And he said, this bread represents my body, which is broken for you. Speaking of his suffering, his persecution, and his crucifixion. And then after supper, he took the cup of wine. And he said, this cup, it represents a new covenant. It represents a covenant of God's grace now. His favor upon us. This cup that holds the wine represents Jesus' blood, which was going to be payment for our sin. And once it's been paid, we're restored to relationship with God. How we unwrap that marvelous gift is by faith. That's what Jesus did. Now I can be at peace with God. But I have to open that gift. I got to unwrap it and say, you know what? If that's what Jesus did, I'm going to believe in him. And I'm going to follow after him. And I'm going to ask him to forgive me, include me in that forgiveness under your blood, and come into my heart and life. I want real faith in you, Jesus, in the Father above, and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit that helps me know these things are true. And when we're in that place and we ask forgiveness and we come into agreement, and the last thing he convicted us, the Holy Spirit saying, ask forgiveness, believe in me. And when we do that, then we can eat this bread and drink of this cup in a worthy manner, knowing that we have asked Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be our Lord and to be our Savior, to save me from my sins and from death and hell. And give me life. Maybe you're in this room this morning and you've never done that. I'm going to give you opportunity right now to say, you know what, I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart and life that way. I want to unwrap the gift of his salvation and by believing in him. So would you do me a favor, everybody in the room, would you just bow your head, please? Close your eyes. And if you're here this morning and saying, oh, I need to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life as Lord and as Savior. I need the forgiveness of sin. I want to have that personal faith in him. If that's what Jesus is really like, I want to know him. And I want to start today. See, some of you in this room, you raise your hand for this periodically. And I want you to know it's okay. But we need to build from this point, not let it be dismantled, so we got to come back and raise our hand not every week, but periodically. We got to build from this point, not dismantle it. So if you're here, and you've not asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life ever, or you did a long time ago, and that faith was dismantled, and you know that you need it refreshed and renewed today, you want him to forgive you of sin, and you want to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and your Savior, I want to include you in a prayer before we take communion. And the way we're going to do this is I want to know who I'm praying for. So while everybody else is not looking around, if that's you and you say, include me in this prayer of salvation, of asking Jesus into my life, would you just slip your hand up so I know who you are? I want to include you in this prayer. You just slip your hand up. You can put it down, yes. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up real quick so I can see it. Say, you know, I want Jesus to come into my heart and life. You just slip your hand up so I can see it. Anybody else? Real quick. All right. I'm going to pray. And this lady who raised her hand, I just want you to pray along with me in your own heart. And say, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart and life. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you are the Lord. I want to know you. I want to live for you. I want to build and grow in faith from this point forward. So come into my heart and life. Right now, Jesus, would you do it for this woman who raised her hand? Oh. Amen. Now, those of you who are still have your head bowed and eyes closed, I want you to know that this is a moment before we distribute the emblems of communion. that you're supposed to examine your heart and life. And if there's anything there that's between you and God that you do not agree with Him about, or that you don't want to ask forgiveness for, there's something in the way, this is a time to work that out so that you can be at peace and you can have forgiveness before you eat this bread and drink this cup. And maybe include in there, say, Lord, I want to build from this point. I don't want to keep starting over. I don't want to skip a brick. I want you to build me. Find me submissive, willing, Lord. So you go ahead and examine your heart and life. If you need to confess things to the Lord, you do that right where you are. And as the emblem's being distributed, just take them. If you're going to celebrate communion, hold on to them till everyone is served. Those serving communion, I'm going to ask that you would come at this time. This bread that you hold in your hand represents Christ's broken body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, we're to remember him. And in doing so, we proclaim his death until he comes again. If Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and you believe upon him, would you remember him as you eat this bread together with me? Remember you, Jesus. I remember you, Lord. This cup that you hold in your hand represents Christ's blood, which is for the forgiveness of our sins. For those in Christ, there is no more condemnation. You be free. You be free of yesterday. You've asked forgiveness. You be free of yesterday. Your mind might remember, but you do not have to live under the influence of yesterday's guilt and shame. In Christ, there is no condemnation if you are in him. Believe in the power of his blood, that it is enough. It is enough. Let's remember Jesus as we drink this cup together. Stand with me, please. Paul wrote, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Walk out of here today with a clear conscience and a steadfast conviction that you're free from the past and God is able to finish the work he started, and you're going to let him put bricks in place and you're going to leave them there. You're going to leave them there. So on your way out, build one another up. Be encouraged. God bless you. Have a great week. And in closing, we're going to sing "When the Saints Come Marching In." I'm kidding you. God bless you. You have a great day.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.